Welcome to Living Waters Church, a community with Jesus at the center, shaped by scripture, dependent on his spirit, following together. For more resources, information, and news, check out our website, lwchurch.ca, and get connected.
All right, folks, we're going to invite you to come on in and find a seat. Come on in. We're continuing in our time in 1 Thessalonians in a series we've called Hope and Holiness. And today we're really grateful to have John Imbo sharing with us. So John's going to come on up now. Let's say hi to John. And let me just say a few words about John. If you don't know him, John and Deb and their kids have been a part of our church for a number of years. Yeah. We love John and Deb deeply. John is currently the president of Wycliffe Bible Translators Canada, which means he speaks all the languages over the world.
Yep.
And he's going to do several of them today
sermon. Maybe different accents, but I don't know about languages.
Mostly staying away because you're fresh back from Thailand.
Yeah, 2 days ago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Welcome, John. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Luke. And good morning, everyone. So good to be with Living Waters, the best church. Oh, I love this church so much. It's so good. We've been coming to this church for years, our family, and it's just a blessing to be able to come and share God's word with you. Coming to Living Waters has always felt to our family as though we're stepping into an oasis and a place where God blesses us deeply. And many of us have come to church today, you know, you kind of go from Sunday to Sunday, and in between we have lives where we often are experiencing challenges, difficulties of all kinds, and we find ourselves coming limping in on Sunday to church, and we come really to bring everything that we are and all of our experiences into this place for a blessing. We come here to pray, and we come here to sing and worship the Lord. We come here to be friends and to fellowship, and we come into that oasis and that presence of God to pay attention to our heart. And so that's why we're here this morning. I took my son on a hike years ago in the desert, and it was an oasis hike where you start in one oasis, and then you get out of the oasis, and as soon as you step out of that shade and out into the desert, it's so hot, and the sun is beaming down on you, and you know, it's just dry and barren and sandy and dusty, and your throat becomes parched, and it's so long between one oasis, then you hike through to another oasis. And when you finally arrive at that other oasis, you get there and you finally make it into the shade, and it's so beautiful in there. And really, church is this rhythm, isn't it, of one oasis on Sunday and then our week, and we come into another oasis place and we expect to receive from the Lord. And one of the primary ways that we receive from the Lord as people of God is through his word. Amen. Amen. It's through his word. And if you have not yet discovered the reality of how the word of God is an oasis for you, and as you arrive at the word, the Lord is there already, and he has prepared for you a great blessing for you to receive in that place, then I encourage you to step in and to pay attention to your heart through the word of God. And that's what we've been doing as a church in 1 Thessalonians. We've been like traveling people that have camped beside a river called 1 Thessalonians. We've been camped there, and we've been drawing from the river these life-giving realities and principles and blessings that the Lord has for us from that letter. And I think it's been a treasure as we've been camped there and drawing from it. We've been looking at this letter, and we've been looking at the context in each case for the passages that we're studying on Sunday morning. And we've been looking at the context in order that we might understand better the exegesis, that reality of what this letter meant for the first people it was written to. And that really helps us to be able to understand the exegesis to the hermeneutic. You know, what does it mean then for us today? How do I apply this to my life today? And the context for the passage that we're looking at today from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 9 to 11, that context is the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, yeah. And so the day of the Lord is this really Old Testament phrase that the prophets use to describe the reality that the Lord is a holy God. And because the Lord is a holy God, he expects his people to live holy lives. And there is a day that is coming, a day of reckoning, where the Lord will come. And as Isaiah said, who was the first one to talk about the day of the Lord, he will come and he will bring the proud down low, right? He will humble the proud. And the day of the Lord was seen as this coming of Emmanuel to bring judgment on his people. You know, it wasn't sort of like a day of the Lord. We can't wait for the day of the Lord, you know, and Emmanuel, Emmanuel. We kind of, you know, sing like that. But Emmanuel meant God with us. Yikes, right? Judgment. This is something that we are not looking forward to. And so the day of the Lord then is picked up as the context for this passage that we're looking at now in 1 Thessalonians 5. We've been seeing that the day of the Lord is being talked about. And with that as the context, we now anticipate that the Holy Spirit will now speak to us through the words that he has today. And don't ever forget, please, that as much context and insight and digging that you can do into the passage, real enlightenment for your heart starts first with the Holy Spirit. Amen? It starts with the Holy Spirit. Gordon Fee taught us that. He said, for all the exegesis you can do, it begins first with the Holy Spirit. I feel like we should pray. Let's do it. Heavenly Father, we do pray then in Jesus' name that your Holy Spirit would speak to us now as we look at these beautiful verses. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so open up your Bibles, get your phones out, flip out your apps, and you will find so many versions of the Bible there, many in English, lots of different versions for people who speak different languages that speak to their heart. And so you will find one for you there, I'm sure of it. And if not, we're working on it at Wycliffe. We're working on it. So as we look at this passage today and we think about this context of the day of the Lord, we're coming to a passage that speaks about hope, yeah? So think about this, the context of the day of the Lord, a time when God is coming to bring judgment, and here's a passage that speaks to hope. This is so important for our time in which we live in. Folks, we've never lived, or there hasn't been a time in our generations where we've seen such a desperate need in our communities around us and in the lives of people around us, all over the world, for hope. That's because we're living in such a fragmented society, yeah? Fragmented people, cultures. It's a shifting world right now. We feel it, we see it, we spend way too much time looking at the news about it. And the reality is so palpable that we have to say with sincerity today, the world is desperate right now and needs hope. And as believers, when we come limping into our oasis, we're coming in, though, with that reality, not lost, but filled with this great sense of hope. But people are searching. Have you noticed this? They're searching desperately for the truth and deeply for the truth and for the light. I was sitting next to a gal in an airplane about 2 months ago. And I always pray, you know, when I'm sitting down, Lord, if it's your will, you know, let me share my faith with this person. But if not, that's okay with me because I'd like to sleep. But sat down and I, you know, hey, how are you? You know, kind of start like that and didn't seem to want to talk. And then she pulled out an Our Daily Bread. Yeah, how many are familiar with Our Daily Bread? Yeah, okay. So it's a devotional. If you're not familiar, it's like a weekly devotional from the Word of God. And so when I saw that, I said, oh, you're a Christian. She said, no, not a Christian. I'm a Buddhist. And I was like, whew, okay. I said, I haven't been following Our Daily Bread for a while, but the last time I recall, Our Daily Bread was for Christians. She said, well, no, I'm a Buddhist, but my neighbor is a pastor. And this crazy pastor, I love this guy, whoever he is, he's out sharing the good news with his neighbors. And he's telling this lady about the good news. And she's searching. And she said, I'm just coming back from a yoga retreat down in Costa Rica. And I've been there and I've got this Our Daily Bread that my pastor gave me because he knows I'm searching for the light. That's what she said, searching for the light. So you know what I said? Have you found it? Have you found it? And she said, no. I was like, well, you were just at a yoga retreat in Costa Rica, and you didn't find it there. I didn't find it there. I said, oh, I said, your pastor's onto something. It's like he wants you. Do you know that there was a man who literally said he was the light? Oh, his name is Jesus. Amen. And he is the light. And that's actually going on here in this passage with Thessalonians. It's going on with the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord is about darkness and light. And the reality is that there is light for those who are seeking for this hope. There is hope for our world. So my question for us as we look at this today and as you think about this for yourself, is there hope for me? Is there hope for me? Let's look at verse 9. This is where it starts. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 9 says, "For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath." We can stop there. That's the day of the Lord context, isn't it? The wrath of God is coming upon sin and brokenness and the destruction of this world. The wrath of God is coming. That's the day of the Lord. This, I think, was on my neighbor's mind a while back when he came outside and he saw me there. He knows I'm a Christian. And he said, "Hey, John, am I going to hell?" Across the way, you know, and I said, "You sure are." No. No, I did not. No. I said, "What do you think?" And he said, "Yeah, I think I'm going to hell." I said, "Okay." And we, you know, kind of met in the middle. And I said, "Well, why do you think you're going to hell?" And he said, "Well, because I drink too much and I swear too much." And I was like, "Drink too much? Oh, yeah, those are the two. Those are the two. Sorry, no, no." It's like, okay, so you think that your behavior is bad and you think that the wrath of God is going to come upon you. When it's all said and done, when it's all over, you think that your sins are going to add up and that God's going to look upon you and say, you know, "I'm sorry, but wrath, it's wrath for you." I said, "Man, pull out your ladder." And so pull out your ladder and let's look at this for a second. So he pulled out his ladder. It was a similar step ladder to this. And I said, "Okay, well, let's say this ladder represents, you know, sort of a continuum of sin. And, you know, you said you drink too much, you swear too much, behavior, and you think that God is holy. And so when he looks at the behavior of people and he sees their unholiness, that they must fall in some kind of a spectrum here." I said, "Where would you put the worst person who ever lived?" And he said, "Well, I'd put him at the bottom." And I said, "Okay, and who's that?" And he said, "Hitler," right? Hitler. Said Hitler. Somebody say Trump. I heard somebody say that. Come on now. Come on now. Said Hitler. Okay. So the worst person to ever live. And I said, "Okay, and what about up here? This is somebody who's lived a great life, and they've really stepped into trying to be ethical, and their behavior has been so, so good. Who would you put up here?" And he said, "Mother Teresa." He said, "Mother Teresa." So Mother Teresa's up here, Hitler's down here. I said, "Where would you put yourself?" He thought about it for a minute, and he said, "Well, I'd put myself somewhere here," he said. "Drink too much, I smoke too much, there's probably some other things." And he's probably, and so he said, "I put myself somewhere around here, you know, just a little below the middle." I said, "Where would you put me?" And he said, "I'd put you, no, he said, I'd put you up here." And I was like, "Okay, that's good, up here." I said, "All right, neighbor." I said, "Where's the cutoff? Where do you think the cutoff is for heaven? You know, like when God sort of looks at humanity, he says, well, you know, there's a cutoff, and everybody who's been good enough gets in. Everybody who's been bad enough, they're suffering wrath." He thought about it for a while, and he said, "I don't know." He's like, "I don't know where God's cutoff is." He said, "Maybe it's right here." And he kind of put it a little above himself, because you remember he said, "Yeah, I think I'm going to hell." You know what he was really asking me is, "Hey, John, is there any chance of heaven?" Yeah, he wasn't really asking me, "Am I going to hell?" He was really asking, "Is there any chance of heaven?" I really think this desperation in my neighbor's heart and what I saw on the airplane with the person who was searching for the light and what I see all over the world. I've just come back from Bangkok, 10 million people, and I got this sense that all over this huge city, people are desperate for the light and desperate for hope. But they have this sense, and it's actually a spiritual instinct. It's something I believe that every person is born with. Like the instincts that we have in our biology, there's a spiritual instinct where we recognize the fact that God is in fact a holy God and that we've fallen short of that holiness. There's an instinct within us to say, there's something broken in me. You know, if somebody says, "Well, I actually don't think that I'm a bad person. I don't think there's any badness in me." I would really encourage someone who is thinking that way to plumb the depths of who you are. right? You know, as I said to my friend, I said, well, if that's the cutoff there and you're not in, but I'm in, I said, then, you know, what if I was to tell you that I've looked at myself and I've recognized that my sin is so great that I know I am destined for the wrath of God? He said, oh, come on, man. We know you're a pastor. We know you're good. What do you mean you're destined for the wrath of God? I said, I've looked deep into who I am, and I know who I am. And I said, have you looked deep into yourself? I said, well, actually, the Bible, good news. I said, this is good news, my neighbor friend. It's good news because the Bible actually talks about where the cutoff is. You don't have to wonder. You don't have to stand here and go, I don't know, man. There's a Bible that talks about where the cutoff is. I said, what if I was to tell you that the cutoff, and he's looking at himself here. I said, what if I was to tell you that the cutoff is actually right up here? What if I told you the cutoff is actually holiness, perfection? And he was like, whoa, are you serious? And then he said the perfect words for the road to salvation. He said, that's impossible. Yeah. If we have not arrived at an understanding that God's expectation for salvation is perfection, then we don't yet understand the gospel. Yeah. I said, you know, neighbor, it can't be down here. The cutoff can't be down here, can it? And he said, no, it can't. Because his spiritual instincts understand that God is holy and that that's not right. That's not just, if everybody's in, no matter what you've done, everybody's in, God's wrath is on nobody, then that's not fair. That's not right. That's not good. What kind of God is that? And nor can it be somewhere in here. Where is it in here? Then you don't understand the holiness of God. It must be here. The holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the goodness of God. You say, well, how can God judge like that? How can God not? How can he not? What kind of God is that? Well, you know, we could sort of leave it there and we could say, so good luck, man, good luck, right? And by the way, there's lots that you can do to try to get to that holiness. There's a lot that you can do. You can try super hard. I've tried it. You can try super hard and you can just will yourself to be a better person. But then you'll find if you really look at it and you look deep within yourself, you'll say there's actually just evil lurking in there. There's brokenness and there's things and there's circumstances I haven't even yet been put into. And if I was, what kind of evil would come out of that? You know, I think if you recognize that, you can say, well, I could try really, really hard. Yeah, but all of us who have tried really, really hard have realized that we'll still just fall short of the glory of God. And, you know, another thing is you could say, well, maybe next life, yeah? So I won't get it this time around, but maybe next life I'll be a little bit better along and get there over time, or maybe it'll just work out. Maybe it'll work out. Or this is what often people will come to the place of saying this, maybe something else's life instead of mine. Maybe there's a way to pay for this. Maybe someone else's life instead of mine. Well, that is the gospel, isn't it? Someone else instead of mine. Let's go back into our passage again. We left off with the day of the Lord, God's wrath. If he's a holy God and he's just and it's true, what kind of God is that? It's a God who expects holiness from his people. There's wrath coming to unholiness. And so the reality of what's in front of us with this day of the Lord is one where you'd say, well, then what hope is there for me? But it doesn't just end there. It doesn't just end with, you know, you've been appointed to suffer wrath because you're a human and everybody is broken. It doesn't stop there. It keeps going. Thanks be to God. There's this word but in there because there's more coming. And this sentence, this verse continues to say, but you have been appointed to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the reality of the good news. That is the hope that we have. There was somebody who actually paid the price for us, whose blood was spilt in order that ours wouldn't be shed, who received the wrath of God upon him. that we might have our sins covered. And if they're covered, and if we've been made, as Isaiah says, white as snow, then we do not fear the wrath of God coming to us. You've been appointed to salvation. That's why Christians are always going on about being saved, right? People wonder, why do you guys keep talking about being saved? That's the very reason. We recognize that the day of the Lord is coming. There's a reckoning for all of this. What hope do I have to be saved? And so I got up on that ladder. I'm not going to do it on this one. It is just way too rickety. But I got up on that ladder and I stood right up on here and I said, there was one person. There was one person. He was better than Mother Teresa. He was one person who was sinless. You see, this is why Jesus Christ was incarnate. This is why God himself came to be among us and one of us, is because there was somebody who was able to live that sinless life. His name was Jesus Christ. And my neighbor said, man, lived a sinless life, that's impossible. It would be for any of us, not even Mother Teresa. It would be for any of us. But the extraordinary story goes from the beginning that there was a baby born who was no ordinary man. Even though this baby was 100% person, he was also 100% God. Lord, you're a genius. The way you thought this out and the way you put it all together, of course it had to go like this. Of course. And so there, Jesus, standing at the top, who lived the sinless life, who said, I'll take the wrath of God upon me. And so I stood up here and I said, he's reaching down to all of humanity who are searching desperately for hope and for light. He's reaching down for all of humanity and ready to grab a hold of us and draw us up into this place so that we also may find ourselves to be holy and righteous. We also may find ourselves to be a new creation, because we couldn't do this as the old creation. We must be born again. Amen? Amen. Born again. We must be these new creatures. There's no way we could live like that in our spirit. We were spiritually dead, but because of faith in Jesus Christ, spiritually alive in him, I said to my neighbor, he's reaching down to you today because you've not been appointed unto wrath. You've been appointed to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. It's the only way. And this is why Christians are always saying it's the only way. It's the only way. Yes, it's because you see the genius of God in this. It's the only way to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 10. He died for us so that whether we are awake, alive, or asleep, whether we're dead, we may live together with him. Live together with him. So the wrath of God passed to Jesus. Thanks be unto God. It does not come upon us when that day of the Lord comes. So my neighbor is standing there and he's wondering about this. And I said, do you know how you get that? Do you know how you get that? What's our part in this? You know, do you know how you get this or receive this? No, I'm just giving it away. The reality is that this comes to us only by receiving it. We can't take it. You can't storm it and take it. You can't force your way into it. You can't earn it. As good as you try to be, you can't earn it. You can't capture it. You can't do enough prayers or enough spinning of wheels or anything else in order to get it. You must receive it through faith. And so there is an action that's required by humanity. There's an action for us all. The action is faith. You must believe and receive. Yeah? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Well, here's how it finishes. It finishes, I think, for us today with a great application. This is how the verse, this is how the passage finishes. Verse 11, therefore, so, you know, this all means something into our lives today. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you are doing. I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you, if you've come limping in, maybe you've been a believer in Jesus, but you've gone back into this old system of, I'm supposed to try super hard because I'm a Christian, and if I don't, I'm going to suffer God's wrath, or I'm short of his glory, I'm not worthy, I'm a worm. We get into all of this stuff, and oh man, my spiritual life, it's I'm up, I'm down, and it's just, it's exhausting living like that. That's not the gospel. That's not what you were saved for. You weren't saved to go into this old system again of the law. You've been brought out of that. And so we don't work at our ethics, listen, our behaviors, because we're supposed to. That's not why we do this. We don't try to be a better Christian because, well, that's what I'm supposed to do now. No, we have been brought into this new relationship with Jesus Christ where we are now new creatures. The old is gone. Behold, the new has come. And because we are this new thing that has been given holiness and righteousness, that we are now actually called saints, all of us, that we are temples of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit of God now lives within us. Since that's the new reality, we don't do this because we're supposed to. We do it because we want to. We do it because we love the Lord Jesus Christ. We love him desperately. We want to behave like Jesus because it comes naturally out of this new spiritual instinct we've been given. Yeah, a new life instinct. I encourage you to press in on that. Leave that old system behind. The Bible talks tons about it. Paul's on about it all the time. Leave that old system behind. Step into the new life as a new creature. And if you ever think to yourself, okay, I'm a new creature in Christ, but how come I still want to sin? You're right there with Paul. He goes on about it all the time too. He says, why is it that I'm this new creature, but I still have these temptations and still step back into that old way? He says, leave that behind. Step into the new way and move forward. Years ago, I was in an orphanage in Uganda, and I was painting the inside of the wall with a bunch of youth. And as I was painting, suddenly this huge spider came up off the ground. He came up on the wall, as big as my hand, this thing. And I was like, and it had hair, you know, a spider with hair. That's just, you know, Lord, in all your wisdom, hair on a spider. Huge fangs. And we're painting this thing, you know, beautiful painting. And here's this ugly thing that's there. I mean, it's a beautiful creature. It just fits with the context of the story, okay? Stay with me here, all right? And we froze. And all of us were like, what do we do? What do we do? And, you know, chaos and crying and gnashing of teeth. And, you know, what do we do? What do we do? And then the Ugandan who runs that home for all these children. She saw this spider and she went, "Ooh, that is a big spider." And then she walked over and the door was open and she reached out and she grabbed a hold of the spider with her bare hand and she threw it right out the window, right out the door. The spider's like, and threw it out the door and the spider went into the sand and took off into the tall grasses waiting for me later. But it threw it right out the door. And I remember thinking to myself after, that is such a beautiful picture of what has taken place in my heart and in my life. When you believe and receive that old hideous thing that we have to recognize and say, you know, it's a reality. This is God who's holy. And it's not fair if it's just great for everybody and it'll all work out and all of that. It's not fair and not right. But he's taken a hold of all of that and he's throwing it out and it's gone. And then he encourages us, now live this new life. Don't go searching for that old life. Don't go outside and go, where are you, spider? You're in these, you know, like it just doesn't fit. It's horrible thinking of crawling on the ground and waiting for that thing. But no, don't live that old life. Step back in. So my encouragement for you this morning is to, if you've received the Lord Jesus Christ in your life, be encouraged today. You are a new creature in Christ. The old is gone. The new has come. You are a saint because of the grace of Jesus. Step into that. Don't say, I'm not worthy. No, step into it. Your unworthiness has been taken care of. And now we live for him because we want to, because we're blessed because of that. Amen? Okay. And then my final encouragement and build you up would be this way. If you've not yet received the good news of Jesus Christ, he is calling to you today. Jesus is calling. We sang about it today. He's reaching down with his ever-loving, caring arm. He will be careful and gentle and patient, but he is sincere. And all of his sincerity went straight to the cross for his sincerity for you. And his love is there reaching down for you to receive him. You receive him through faith, yeah, in your heart. You open up your heart to him and say, Jesus, I believe. I believe that you were the Son of God. It's the only way you could live that sinless life. I believe you died on the cross for my sin, that your shed blood is actually that sacrifice in place of the wrath that's supposed to come on me. And so I receive that today, the blood of Jesus. And thanks be to God that Jesus didn't stay dead. Yeah? That the cross went from there to the empty tomb. And because he rose again, you too can receive eternal life through faith in him. Let's pray. And so, Lord, we do come to you. And if anyone in this room now would like to pray to receive Jesus, I encourage you to just open your heart now and say, oh, Jesus, I believe in you. Yeah, I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you died and rose again. And I want to receive eternal life by my faith in you. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that you would reach down now and draw into your kingdom, that kingdom of light, those who are now seeking hope in you. Yeah. And I pray, my friend, whoever you are, if you've received Jesus now, that your heart would be filled with joy, gladness, a flooding of this light of Jesus upon you. Yeah. And may you now begin a journey of this new creation life that is a blessing for eternity. And for all of us, Lord, who have faith in you, I pray that you would now encourage us to live this new creation life, Lord. The old is gone, the new is come. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to step into that today, to pay attention to our hearts in order that we might live like you. It's in your precious name we pray. And everyone said, amen. 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 Luke.
Thank you, John. I think speak for all of us who's saying thank you for bringing us such a refreshing message this morning. Let's stand together. Allow me to say a benediction. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and give you his peace. Bless you as you go into this week. And if you're new and newer, come and connect. Let's get to know each other. Have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for joining today. If you'd like to get more connected or involved in any way, please reach out. We'd love to help. Have a great week.